proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study. Beginning with this session, we will look at the kings of the Jewish people, both the kings of the United Kingdom and the kings of the separate Northern Kingdom of Israel and Southern Kingdom of Judah. The Jewish nation was born when the Israelites undertook their exodus from Egypt. Before that time, only the Egyptian pharaoh served as their overlord. Even among the individual tribes, no person exercised sovereignty over their kin. After the exodus, for the first several hundred years of the Jewish people's history, the Jews did not have any kings ruling over them. They had Moses, who served as a lawgiver, an administrator, a judge, and Joshua, who functioned as a military commander. Both of these men captured the Israelites, but neither man laid claim to any royal titles. For approximately 300 years after the death of Joshua, the Israelites had a number of localized leaders, known as judges. None of these men assumed the prerogatives of a sovereign. When the Jews asked Gideon to reign over them, as per Judges 8, he responded by saying, quote, "I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you," unquote. Nonetheless, a time came when the Jewish nation demanded a king. This is recorded in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 8. Samuel, who was the last of the judges, Samuel had appointed his sons to be his successors. When those sons proved corrupt, the Israelites clamored for a king. Samuel initially warned them against taking such a step. Nonetheless, the Jewish people replied that, quote, "We will have a king over us, that we may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles," unquote. As a matter of fact, God had previously provided for the Israelites to have a king who would reign over them. He gave the Jewish people specific instructions on that matter in the 17th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. The person that the Jewish people chose to be their king first had to come from Jewish stock. God forbade them from choosing a non-Jew to reign over them. God laid a number of prohibitions on any future Jewish king. Such a monarch could not multiply horses to himself. A Jewish king could not increase his material wealth, nor take additional wives unto himself. Some of the Jewish kings routinely transgressed these limitations. Solomon, for example, had horses brought out of Egypt, as recorded in 1 Kings chapter 4. He also had multiple wives and concubines, violating Deuteronomy 17. God also decreed that whenever a Jewish king assumed the throne of Israel, quote, "He shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes and do them," unquote. It's possible that the book of the law, which was found in the temple during the reign of King Josiah of Judah, that book of the law might refer to the special copy reserved for the king of Israel himself. In Hosea chapter 13, God told the Jewish people, quote, "I gave thee a king in mine anger and took him away in my wrath," unquote. Sometimes God gave the Jewish people not the king they needed, but the type of king they wanted. So his statement could have applied to many Jewish monarchs. As we'll learn in the next few sessions, even the good kings sometimes did evil things. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150. Or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.